Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Today in the first of our two short talks, we're going to talk about Greigh de Manna, some of its sites and places of interest. We are indebted to the staff of Greigh de Manna and the late John Joyce, also of Greigh de Manna, for the content. And we start looking at Douche Abbey. Douche Abbey dates from the early years of the 13th century. Its church, now the parish church of Greigh de Manna, was at one time the chapel of the largest of the 34 medieval Cistercian monasteries in Ireland. The abbey was founded in 1204 AD. It took about 30 years to build, the church portion taking probably about 20 years. The name Douche is derived from the little river Dúvisga, black water, which flows through Greigh de Manna to join the river Barrow some 400 metres south of the church. The great Norman lord William Marshall founded the abbey, and what transpired to be the first documented ceremony at Douche, its cemetery was blessed on June the 6th, 1204. 24 years before that, in 1180 AD, Dermot O'Ryan, the Gaelic prince of the Drone, had granted lands for the erection of a monastery there, but had fallen while attacking the Normans. So it was Marshall who invited the Anglo-Norman Cistercians from the Abbey of Stanley in Wiltshire, England, to come to Ireland, and it was he who endowed the abbey munificently with lands and tithes and decreed that this new monastery should fittingly portray Norman might and influence. Peg Washington's Lane. From her little house at the southern end of the Turf Market in the early 1800s, the widow Peg Washington watched anxiously as the row of buildings were erected between her home and the Douche River. Fearing that she'd be cut off from her water supply, she boldly asked David Burchell, chief magistrate of the town, who was having the work carried out, not to deny her access to the Douche. When asked what which she required, she answered, "Just the width of myself." In this way, Peg Washington's Lane, reputedly to be the smallest lane in the world, came into being. The Widow's Cottages. The four elegant little Tudor Revival style cottages at Abbey Street were built with a potato patches to the rear for deserving widows by the Clifton family, landlords of the town in the early years of the 19th century. They were used for their original purpose up to the 1930s. The cottages are now in private hands. The Convent of Mercy. On the 12th of March 1908, following representations by Father Joseph Mooney, PP, on behalf of the people of Greigh de Manna, four Sisters of Mercy from the Mother House at Carlow arrived in town, and a new convent, St. Joseph's, was built on an elevated site overlooking the town. These were the first in a long and dedicated line of nuns who devoted their lives to Greigh de Manna and its peoples, not only through their outstanding work in the field of education, but in their missions of mercy over the years to the poor, the sick and the dying. The convent closed on the 12th of July 2000. The school is now known as Sculvera Gonsmall. St. Peter's Church. At Whitehall, in a magnificent sylvan setting overlooking the town, St. Peter's Church served the local Protestant community for over 150 years. Built in 1809 in the spiky Gothic Victorian style of the period, only the tower now stands. The nave had been demolished by the represented church body in the 1960s. A small two-room school, which also served the Protestant community, stood inside the entrance of the church grounds. It was built in 1829 and later was used as a residence. The Starch Works. The Barrow Starch Works were at its peak from the 1850s to the 1880s, manufactured starch mainly for domestic and laundry purposes and employed in the region of 50 people. The beneficial effects of such a number of workers, predominantly male, having constant gainful employment in Greigh de Manna during the years following the famine was of course immense, and must have helped to stay, even if only to a little extent, the human exodus over those years, when the town's population fell from 2,248 to 972. Using the brand name Snowflake, it converted wheat into starch, a household and laundry product then in universal demand. In 1869, the use of wheat as the raw material was discontinued and Rangoon rice imported via Liverpool was used instead. For many years, Kelly's was the only starch factory in Ireland that used this raw material. The finished product, packed in what is described as fancy picture box, was shipped by canal to Dublin and Waterford, and from there exported to the wider world outside. The Great Amana Bridge. Over 800 years, the stone for the famous Drumscabby was hauled up the river in flat-bottomed boats. It was from the 1760s onwards with the formation of the Barrow Navigation Company and a grant of £2,000 from Parliament that led to the further development of the river. George Semple, the engineer responsible for the building of the Great Amana Bridge, was in charge of the development project. Great Amana Bridge was erected by George Semple in 1764. The bridge is a seven-arch humpback bridge that spans the River Barrow. It replaced the previous 15th century stone bridge. The bridge was badly damaged on June 13, 1798 during the 1798 rebellion. When it said, First Lieutenant Michael McCormick of the New York Yeomanry laid a trail of gunpowder across the bridge. The explosion at 6 o'clock in the evening blew the arch of the cargo side of the bridge. The stones are said to have been flung as far as 200 yards upstream. There is a plaque erected to George Semple on the tin hinged side of the bridge by the Great Amana Historical Society in 1998. The Clapper Bridge. One of the more than 20 little bridges that span the Duse as it makes its way through the town, this medieval footbridge is sited beside Our Lady's Well at the junction of the Duse River and the tail race of the former monastic mills. The bridge crosses the river on the shortest route between the 13th century Drumscabby, its mills and the Lady Chapel, which at one time stood in a field immediately to the north of the Well Lane. The first tennis club at Greg was formed in June 1880 when Mr. and Mrs. Richard R. Burchell opened a lawn tennis club in their grounds at Brandondale with a gala fete attended by 40 invited guests. Indicating the excitement engendered by the prospect of seeing an entirely new game, no less than 600 members of the general public attended. Later that summer, two further tournaments were held at the new court, and in the years that followed, the club prospered. During this period, the original court was relaid on a bed of cinders, and a second court was built close by. The club, local or relates, drew its membership principally from an elite social circle and continued it in existence until the advent of the 1914 Asian War, during which time it went out of existence. The Burchell family of Great Amana. The Burchell family had a connection with Great Amana over a period of 250 years, from the late 1600s up to 1932, when the last of the name, Mrs. Sarah Burchell, died. The family were of Cromwellian origin, and the story is one of a huge, widely spread clan, for some of the earlier generations had up to 17 children. The family came to Bogamore and Wicklow from Hereford in England towards the end of the 1600s. Thomas, circa 1690, was the first to arrive in the Great Amana area. He had land in the Monee and Stackley district and probably built Brandondale, almost certainly a smaller house then in the early 1700s. One of Thomas's many sons, Peter, who lived from 1744 to 1815, built and lived at another family residence, Coolwell House, as did some of his successors. During that family, the family had a flax mill on the little stream immediately above Coolwell Bridge. Like other New English families who gained influence in County Kilkenny, the Burchells became landowners. Their holdings were not big initially, but with Peter's 1744 to 1815 marriage to Catherine Roth, a member of the wealthy and powerful Roth family, the situation changed dramatically, and 4 years after his marriage, the Lord Lieutenant applied Peter to the lucrative post of surveyor and collector of revenue. Just a year after that appointment, when his wife died, Peter inherited her wealth. The Roth family connection proved to be immensely important and enhanced the Burchells socially, financially and politically. The fact that in 1850 they held just 174 acres of land around Great Amana, while 26 years later they owned over 1,100 acres there at Coolroo, Harristown and Ballykeenan indicates the family's rapid accession to wealth. One of Peter's sons, David, who lived from 1778 to 1865, resided at Brandondale House. He was eventually knighted, becoming Sir David, and was the father of Mary Burchell, 1826 to 1894, an album whose sketches were acquired in Canada by the Great Amana Historical Society, a of which now may be viewed at Greg the Man the Library.